Item 13. Gail. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is Karen. Tax compliance policies.
Speaking. All right.
Bring them back in.
Ice Miller assisted with the revision of the tax policies.
Yeah, I was going to ask that, so that's great.
That's why they're coming back in.
Non-core. Welcome back.
It's around you.
We have a chance. Good morning. This item has to do with some updates that we're recommending today for the board's consideration of the tax policies that are in place here at CSERA. You do have a red line of both policies that shows all of the recommended changes. By way of background, let's begin with going over the fact that CSERA is a public pension plan that is tax exempt, tax qualified. We've obtained a favorable letter of determination from the IRS. The latest one we obtained was in 2014. That was a very intensive process of reviewing our plan documents, but also our operational compliance with tax issues. In 2010, the board adopted these two tax policies. One has to do with 415 limits, the other one has to do with everything else but 415 limits. Because we're tax qualified, we have an obligation to continue to educate our staff about these policies, make sure that we're implementing them, and answer any questions that come up. And there's a lot of questions that come up. Ice Miller has been our partner in providing counsel to us on the issues that come up. We've recently had some education sessions with our business units here that handle these matters, going over all of these tax compliance policy provisions, making sure that they're understood, and if questions arose, Ice Miller was kind enough to provide counsel on those. And ultimately, we do have a couple of updates we'd like to recommend to the board. They're not very substantive at all, as you may have seen from the red lines. On page 2 of the memo that is before you, we have a summary of them. Under 1, policy on Internal Revenue Code compliance, we're recommending that under a limitation on compensation, we remove the amount because that amount changes periodically, and instead we're proposing more general language. And by the way, our website has information about all of these amounts, and as they get changed by the IRS, we update the website, so they're on there and are available to our membership and our staff as well. Under the second change that we're recommending under B, that's clarification on the language regarding USERRA, the Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act of 1994. We recommend adding a couple of references to the SURL, and we recommend adding a provision that requires that the policy be reviewed by the board every 3 years, but it can be amended at any time as needed. And for the second policy that we have, that you'll find that under Attachment B, the policy on Internal Revenue Code Section 415 compliance, we recommend clarifying the meaning of ancillary benefit. We recommend clarifying the exclusion from adjustments in the 415B limitations for members employed by police or fire with at least 15 years of service. We recommend clarifying how the limitations apply to repayment of contributions and redeposits by members, clarifying the aggregation rules for testing purposes, and again adding that same provision as in the other policy, that the policy be reviewed by the board every 3 years but can be amended at any time as needed. So at this point in time, I'll turn it over to Audra or Rob to make any comments you may have.
Yes, so when we took a look at the policies, they really were in pretty good shape. So most of the changes are clarification changes. We think that it is important from a fiduciary's role to have the policies reviewed every 3 years. And that's probably more important now than it was previously because Karen mentioned the favorable determination letters that were received from the IRS. Well, the IRS has changed that program, so except for very limited circumstances, such as plan termination or a new plan, Sisera will not be able to go in to get an updated determination letter. So it's important that retirement systems review their policies and their plan on a regular basis to ensure compliance with federal tax law.
Questions: local law changes like our PEPRA, does that affect any of this, or is that completely separate? Was there anything in PEPRA that would have affected how we update our policy?
No, that would limit the way you update your policy. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, and the other, it's one's federal, and one's state, but there's no zero impact on what we did based off of state law.
No, so PEPRA becomes part of the plan for those affected employees. These go to federal tax requirements. They're all part of the plan together, but PEPRA wouldn't have limited your ability to do this.
I had a question on attachment B. Mm-hmm. And specifically, it's at page 4. This is the other adjustments in 415B. In Romanet 2, there's that red line language change, and I guess my question is, excluded from this policy then would be people like probation officers. I'm trying to figure out who the safety officers are who aren't employed by a police or a fire department. So it's anybody who's not, it sounds like, right?
Correct. And so an example would be, I would think something like maybe the DA investigators whose employer is not a police or fire district.
Mm-hmm. And is this a restatement of the existing rule to better clarify it, or is this a change because the IRS rule or the policy changed?
The policy under the code section under 415B in the Treasury regulations did not change. This is just a clarification of that rule.
And this may be a dumb question, but what's the rationale for this policy?
So,
the exclusion of everybody else except police and fire.
Yeah, so if what 415 does, 415B, it limits how much benefit can be paid out of a pension plan. And then it has this whole series of rules on how you make actuarial changes to compare the benefit to the limit. So you're either making actuarial changes to what's being received, or you're making changes to the benefit amount, the limit amount, to compare the two. There are special exceptions, and this is one exception. So if you have, if you're retiring early, then there are certain changes made to the benefit limit, but there's special rule for police officers, well, employees of police and fire, that takes that reduction away.
I guess my question is, why is that? In other words, what's the meaningful distinction between police and fire here and everybody else over here who's still a peace officer or, you know, safety officer? I'm just trying to understand the distinction.
The distinction in terms of a safety membership classification?
No, the distinction in the what's the purpose of the rule? I'm trying to understand the driver.
Yeah. Who benefits from this?
The IRS rule.
What's the rationale? Is it beneficial for safety?
Public safety have strong advocates on Capitol Hill, and so there are different areas of the Internal Revenue Code where you have public safety exceptions, and who qualifies for those exceptions don't match from one exception to the other. In this case, it's kind of a broader exception because it's employees of the police or fire departments, which gets into people who are not sworn officers, but it doesn't bring in all of the different public safety type employees that you've referenced.
Yeah. It's interesting. I didn't quite fully understand it, but it seemed to me that if you have departmental employees who aren't sworn peace officers or safety officers who are covered by this exclusion, and then comparing that to someone who is a safety officer who doesn't get the benefit.
Right.
Dispatchers,
example. Or anybody.
Or hazmat.
But to add to that, and you probably already know this, but this, in terms of the members themselves, it doesn't make much of a difference because almost all of our employers have their own replacement benefit plan. So what happens is once these limits are reached, it's what these rules say from the IRS is, Sarah, you have to stop paying that pension amount. And so we have to stop paying, but then the employer out of their replacement benefit plan start paying, and so the member is kept whole. The member is still receiving the same amount, just not from the retirement system.
Okay.
And I did want to point out that we noticed a couple of little typos that we'd like to highlight that if the board is okay with these changes, we'd like you to kind of add to these changes. And they're just, we have a couple of places where we added our staff prefers using the word section as opposed to using the symbol for section. And so, for example, on page one, under 3A, the red line will show that we're referencing CERL chapter 3.9 IRC section 31899. That should really just be section 31899 without the reference to IRC. So we'll be deleting those.
Okay. Any other questions for Karen or Eisenmiller? So this is an action item.
I'll move the item and move the recommendation.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? Abstain? Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You did have a reason to be here anyway.
Yeah.
wasn't all for
nothing. Hey, Scott, I'm not even familiar with this. That's the first I've really heard of it either. It's not something
I just thought it was interesting when I read it.
I don't know the background.
That's good.